Energy Act for Ukraine Foundation is a charity organization established in response to the energy poverty caused by the war with Russia. One of the flagship programs launched by the foundation is the Solar Step program, a free-of-charge education course for women wanting to work in the solar sector. To learn more about how this program is designed to develop the Ukrainian workforce, I spoke to Energy Act for Ukraine Foundation founder and CEO Yuliana Onychuk. Yuliana also provides updates on the solar and storage projects they have been working on and how this is contributing to a feeling of unity and victory for her, her team, and the many people impacted by these projects. Yuliana will be speaking at Enlit Europe in Bilbao, taking place between 18 and 20 November. Join us there to learn more about the foundation and the vital role women play in Ukraine's future clean energy landscape. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast.
Yuliana, thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking about some really exciting projects that you are busy with, and I'd like to start with the Solar Step Initiative. Please give me and our listeners more information about this. What is it? Who is it for? And when does it launch?
Thank you, Pamela, for the question, and thank you for having me here. Indeed, a Solar Step program is basically a new program within our NGO Energy Act for Ukraine Foundation, because we were focusing for a long time on construction of solar power plants for schools and hospitals. But our main mission is to react on problems, on social problems in renewable energy sector in Ukraine, and specifically in solar. And also in parallel, we would like to grow. So we are searching for what else can we do alongside the constructions. And basically, one year and a half ago, my team and I, we realized that we would like to add more focus on education in Ukraine for many reasons. First of all, the war caused a huge crisis in human resources across all sectors, including energy, of course, and in Ukraine, just like in any other country, basically, the energy sector is more male-dominated rather than females. And that makes this sector even more weak in this sense, because so many men are at war and so many men are also left. So more workforce is needed. And I saw the opportunity here to develop the program that would motivate, that would support women, that would bring them knowledge and community to step into a solar sector as their next career step. And that's how the naming of Solar Step appeared, because this is an educational program which, on one hand, educate women how to become project managers in solar power plant construction. But on the other hand, there is a big part of leadership, soft skill improvement, self-development, meeting community, meet women leaders in this sector, not only in Ukraine, but also worldwide. So Solar Step is designed for now for women in Ukraine as a program, and it is going to be launched on the 1st of November. So basically, we are now on fire because we are just about to start the process.
That does sound really exciting. Yuliana, did you have any partners involved in setting up this program, or who actually supported you in this, or backed you, or financed you?
Yes, of course. We do have partners. We have the partner who financed, the partner donor, and we have also an educational partner. So the international organization MercyCo was one of the first to support our initiative, I think one year ago. So they supported the development of the course. Also, the survey that we did before we launched the course, we did a survey on what are the barriers and obstacles that women are faced with when they want to switch to renewable sector, to solar sector as their career. So what are these barriers? And that helped us to also design the program well, the answers, what we found out. If you like, I can share it later on, the insights that we received. So MercyCore helped us to do the survey, to develop the course together with the educational partner, which is the Kyiv School of Economics. That is basically also the university and the business school in Ukraine. So we're doing it together, but I am the curator of the course and I'm the author of the course. So the whole program is structured the way basically I think it is necessary to give to women and men, to everybody, so that they learn how to build solar power plant. But there are many experts that will give the lectures. So I also take a small part there, but the program is quite diverse, and we tried to find the expert for different topics from the businesses that are engaged in solar power plant construction, and that's how the program is formed. So a lot of experts and some partners.
Juliana, you are a woman working in renewables. That makes you an expert on the topic, certainly. Would you say that your experiences that you've had personally helped shape the formation of this course?
This course is also my vision and my mission. And I was insisting, you know, we had so many conversations with the team, but I see, because, you know, being a project manager in solar power plant construction is quite, it's very wide. If you look at the, from the side of areas of responsibilities, it's quite a position. And usually you just grow, you learn, and that's how you become a project manager. There are no courses in Ukraine there's no courses how to become project manager in solar power plant construction. So this is a totally unique new educational course on the market. But I personally was in this shoes. When I was 25, I was lucky enough to get a chance to build a solar power plant, a big and industrial one, but I didn't know how to do it. And I didn't have any education on that because there was no education on that. So in Ukraine. So I learned by doing, and then I also started the NGO and the war started that is engaged in solar power plant construction. So I know what are the barriers. I know how much you need, how much confidence you should have in order to do that. How much that every time you're in the room, there are only men in this room. And also how to communicate what you want so that you are heard. And of course, if you are not an engineer, it all makes it even more complicated, because, you know, people will just not really respect you because you're too young, you're a woman, and this is the physics and engineering processes, so it's not the place for you. I also heard this once. To include everything I know about this way, about this path of stepping into solar and lead the project of solar power plant construction. So I think that a lot of my heart is in this course, and let's see how it works, how it will work. Yeah.
Well, it seems to have attracted a lot of attention, if I'm not mistaken. The course can accommodate 50 applicants, if I'm correct. And you had a lot more than 50 applications. Tell us a little bit more about that, Juliana.
We were shocked on the number of applications we received. The number is 1,457 applications. Back in spring, we were so stressed that nobody will apply. We did a lot of marketing, media. I was working on my social media to, you know, talk about the course, and we were very stressed that nobody will really come. And then what we will do? But in the end, actually, we we see that there is a huge interest in this sector among women. Of course, motivation was different. I think that because it is for free, because it is a charity and it is a social project, you know, many women just wanted to, they are interested in renewables and they wanted to know a bit more about it, so they applied. But this course is a hard work. Step by step, they would need to learn how to build from regulatory point of view, engineering point of view, communication point of view, working with the client. So all aspects of their work is there. And I was trying to do this course that it's not very easy, because the moment you actually do this job, it will not be easy. And it's a very, very, very big responsibility. So in the end, we had a rating score. So by making the application, the score system was calculating and looking at the answers. So in the end, we only had 300 women that then went to interview stage. And then from interview stage, we had 60, right? So as of today, I think that, yes, we had 50 seats, but we 55 or 54 in the end, we decided to take on the course. And also what I would like to mention that, as this is a charity project, we had a targeted audience. The main targeted audience were the switchers. So women that have absolutely different profession and they would like to start their new career in renewables. My idea was to that women that are working in traditional energy sources see this opportunity and then maybe transfer. That didn't really happen. I don't know why, but not yet. We still saw many women engineers applying to the course. But also, so switchers was the main aim. And then second, let's say, layer of selection was, are they IDPs, right? Women that left internally displaced people. Are they from frontline areas, from the one that are occupied, that they were forced to change their lives in just in one day? That these women, basically almost everyone who applied, we said, yes, of course, motivation matters. And this is also what we checked. But this course is for them. If they are interested and they feel that they want to try themselves after everything they went through, we give this opportunity to these women. Also, wives of fallen heroes or a family member of a fallen hero or a mother of children who raises her kids alone. So these were, let's say, vulnerable women, sometimes I say. So we were specifically also looking at whether they are motivated, if they really want, and if they have this vulnerable criteria, this course is for them. They got more scores, of course. Everything else was pretty about motivation, whether the common narrative that I heard from most of the women that were selected for the interviews was that each of them wants to be a part, an active citizen of Ukraine to reconstruct Ukraine. So it is a proactive position. I want to do the work that is meaningful. This is the sector of the future. I'm interested. I want to be a part of it. Of course, it is about financial side. And it's normal because people are looking for possibilities how to live better because it's very hard to live here now. So we were looking at the motivation criteria as the selection process.
For those listeners who are not particularly familiar with the renewable energy landscape in Ukraine, is there a lot of potential? What is your perspective on this?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, the country, geographically, the country is quite sunny. So especially the south part of Ukraine, even the central part of Ukraine is absolutely, it's a good weather. We have many sunny days. Of course, it's not like in the south of Spain, but we still have a lot of wind in Carpathians because we have mountains also in the south. We have a lot of rivers. So hydro generation is already here, and it has already place in the renewable mix of generation, and it is a big territory. So there are a lot of land where you can construct, and it's easy because it's also flat. So from the perspective of the weather, let's say, and the land itself, and the wind and the water, we have a great potential to develop renewable energy sources. Solar generation was booming in Ukraine before. It now is booming just in a bit different manner, and it will develop as soon as we have some security guarantees for the investments for the investors. This is what we are lacking. You cannot protect your assets and your investments right now from the war risks. So that's why investors are not really here. So I do believe, and that's why I'm doing it, and that's why I'm preparing human resources to work in this field. Because somebody was telling me, Yurana, we don't need project managers. Actually the market needs just a hand. We need installers. We need people who can work, you know, with their hands, engineering, making repair works very quickly. Yes, of course, we need them. And everybody knows it. And somebody is already doing these courses. But my strategy is that we don't know when the war will be over. But when investments are unlocked, we should be sure that we have people who can absorb all of that and really do the projects well. And we need time to prepare people for that. And we need brains for that. And these brains are project managers. This is an intellectual work. How do you bring everybody together? You are the one who knows the path, how to do it. And then you push all the processes so that it happens. Right. And I also wanted to give women, let's say, I wanted to give them wide range of knowledge so that they can use them not only in solar. Maybe somebody will go to a wind sector or hydro sector, let's say. So, yes. So this is the profession of the future. And we should be equipped with a well-educated specialist when it's time.
Would you say that is one of your core ambitions for Energy Act for Ukraine, is to actually prepare the country and its workforce and the environment for this clean energy future, which, although it's been slightly delayed by war, is certainly coming?
Maybe. You know, truly saying... I'm thinking about that. I think that I'm still forming. I do small steps, so I'm not stopping anything, and we are developing, and we do things while thinking. But I definitely see our big work in education of kids, education of women, veterans, and also young students. Let's say 15, 16 years old, who are choosing the profession, to choose energy as a sector. Definitely. This is something we haven't started to do yet, but we are thinking in the team to cover this part of the audience also. So basically, yes. So what you just said, yes, this is what we are doing. But I still, let's say, I'm still forming this strategy, because at the same time, constructions are happening, and we build for schools, for hospitals, for water supply companies, these hybrid solar power plants, and we are the project managers here. But I think that human resources is the key, and we should all focus a bit or more, but we should do something in this direction.
You mentioned that you are building for schools as well, and I think that's a great segue into my next question, which is the project that Enlit helped to raise money for. Tell us a little bit about that project and, you know, what were the costs involved and how much money was ultimately raised?
So together with Enlit team, Kraken, a team of Octopus team, our big, I like to say, beautiful partner that I was lucky to meet people from Kraken and Octopus a few years ago that really supported us when we needed that the most, I think. And we did many, many beautiful projects together and many constructions. So at when the Enlit conference last year was launched, we had an idea all together that it would be important to do a charity dinner and fundraise for Ukrainian schools and hospitals, because Enlit unites a huge amount of energy community, right? And this is exactly, this is the place, and these are the people who understand very well what does it mean blackout and what does it mean to, you know, to be without electricity and what kind of work shall be done so that it happens. So for me, it's also very important to continue talking about what is happening in Ukraine and in energy system there. So we did the charity dinner. We fundraised around 50,000 euros, which were exactly enough to do one school, to build solar plus storage, to ensure this uninterrupted electricity supply when it is needed. So we fundraised for a lyceum in Odessa region. Odessa is a very sunny region. Many people knows Odessa as a city. Many people knows Ukraine because they know Odessa, you know. But this region is heavily attacked all 3 years. There are more attacks there than in Kyiv, than I experienced, let's say, while I'm here. So 700 students go to school. It is a big educational facility. This is one of our criteria. How do we choose schools so that they play an important role for the district or for the area? There are 80 teachers, staff members all together. They have computer labs, which was also important for us. So we try to help schools that also have different extracurriculum activities, that also kids are there maybe in the evening or at summertime, right? Because solar power plant will work all the time. So they have STEM laboratory. Laboratories was quite excited to see. So we wanted to make sure that everything works when they have classes. And it is a 30 kilowatt capacity solar power plant. It is on the roof. Right now, we are at the active stage of finishing the project. There is a battery storage of 60 kilowatt hour, which is enough to keep the lights on for about 4, 5, 6 hours. Sometimes even for 8, depending on how do they use, you know, depending on whether teachers drink coffee in their classrooms and whether, you know, everything, the kettles are on, it really matters how do they behave with the consumption of electricity. The annual savings for the school per year with this solar power plant will be around 6,000 euros. Which is, sorry, $6,000, so it's a bit less, 5 euros. And these are huge money for Ukrainian school. So that's really a lot. This is what we plan. But of course, in a year time, will be very interesting to see how did we succeed and whether the numbers are the same. So we will know a bit later. And of course, the system helps to avoid CO2 emissions. And that also is very important because the attacks that are happening from environmental point of view, it all brings, especially when the rocket is falling or the part of the rocket is falling on the land, in the soil, sometimes also when there is a a big amount of ethics. You can feel it in the air and all this smog that is happening. So, of course, there is no maybe direct help, but avoiding CO2 emissions in Ukraine is something also that we have to do even more not right now, because extra emissions are here and we are all, you know, breathing with it every day. So environmental part is there. And also for this school, we will provide, we have the educational course for kids and we educate them sustainable way of living. And we are also explaining them why renewables are important. Usually they actually know about it because today modern education is modern. So that is included and kids are so smart and they are usually posing us questions, you know, that I will discuss with the adult expert. So we are always very fascinated how kids are active and they're still very engaged and we try to adopt program to their level of knowledge. So we also do that in all schools where we build solar power plant. And Krasnosilskim Lyceum in Odessa will also have this extra classes with us to learn a bit more about renewables.
My final question to you is, if you could, in a few words, share with our listeners what it feels like when you complete a project like this, how would you describe that feeling?
Good question. I think, and I will reflect the feeling from especially first constructions that we have 2 years ago, and especially the ones that we had in 2023, it was the feeling of unity and victory already. Especially in the regions of like Irpin and Bucha, the regions that were occupied for the first months of war. So 1 month they were fully occupied by Russia, and so many, you know, all the schools, they were half destroyed and people were in bomb shelters for months, kids was in their own school. And we know all of these stories and I saw all of these pictures. I was there on 7th of April, I think, filming the schools to fundraise. And when we, in a year time, when we build solar for this school, which is renovated, the roof sometimes had to be changed, and then they have this battery, and the kids are back, and you are standing with these teachers and director of the school. Usually, it is a woman, by the way, and they're so happy because they are not left alone, and they were not left alone. Because we were there immediately, let's say. I feel this, and that's why I feel this unity, because I feel how grateful they are that young generation of Ukrainians do something very progressive. And for them, it's like, it's a skyrocket science. But it is happening in their school, and that somebody is thinking about these kids and about them in these small communities. So that's why it's unity and that's why it's victory, because kids are back to schools that are even better than before war. So actually war caused such a huge change for better. Of course, we pay a huge price, but it is a change for better. That's how I feel in our country. And that's what I see also. And even I changed for better, I think. So, yes, that will be my answer.
That is a beautiful answer. And know that our thoughts here at Inlet are with you and with all of those children and teachers and those Ukrainians who are trying to continue with life just under the most stressful and dangerous circumstances. Juliana, thank you so much for sharing this with us. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much for having me here. And it is my mission and my pleasure to share it with you. Thank you.
And to all of our listeners, until next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast. brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Larg, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.